This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, good day, everybody. Good day. Happy weekend. Happy whatever time it is for you. Because I know that podcasting and all that, our national radio show gets heard all the time, day and night. You know, when you're working out, when you're driving truck, when you're whatever. Anyway, I happen to love cars, and the folks that I have on the show are car-loving fools just like me, like Brian Moody, executive editor of Autotrader.com. Hi, Brian.
There's always a weekend coming somehow.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And even when it's just over, it's the first day. What is it they say? This is today is the first day for the rest of your life until Friday again, and then the weekend's here. Anyway, that's funny. So I didn't get to go to the Chicago Auto Show, and I know there was a whole bunch of hoopla that went on there, and you're the first guy up on the show to talk about it. What should the world know?
Well, I'll give you a big surprise. Ready for this?
Let's see.
Toyota is going to have a bunch of TRD Pro trucks.
TRD. That TRD is Toyota Racing Development, I believe. They're kind of their sport.
Right, but these are a little bit more aggressive for the off-road. These are TRD Pro. So TRD Pro Sequoia, TRD Pro 4Runner. They even have, and this actually, you know, all kidding aside, Toyota always has tons of TRD trucks. But the one that surprised me was the RAV4 off-road edition. So, I mean, I don't really think of Toyota RAV4s as, like, off-roaders, but they had a version there that they're like, no, this is the real deal. And I've driven for on-road, off-road, but off-road in the snow, and I can tell you that they did engineer a little bit of extra fun into it. So it may make sense. Now, it's not going to compete, obviously, with, right, like, the Jeep Wrangler, but I do think that it shows that they're putting a little bit of extra something into even their SUVs that are mainstream so that people can have that, you know, active lifestyle kind of thing and still have a reliable Toyota. It's a smart move, probably.
You know, it's funny because when I think of a Toyota RAV4, I think of kind of like, let's see, how do I say this without insulting anybody? Okay, so we have a dog. It's a Maltipoo. It's part Maltese and part poodle. Extremely smart. It's been a fantastic job, but the RAV4 is kind of like the poodle of small SUVs, right?
Yeah.
I don't put the spiked collar around it and go, get him, Spike, you know, with my poodle, right? It's like that.
No, I agree. I will say in the past, I have thought of the RAV4 as a competent, you know, small SUV, but I never, this latest version, I do think that they kind of stepped it up a little bit. They gave it more of an aggressive look. And listen, there's no way around it. It feels to me more masculine than ever before.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that once you do that, you have to add a certain level of capability, you know, to back up the look. And I think that that's what they're doing, is they're saying, listen, if you want a hybrid, we have that. If you want a base model, we have that. If you want this more aggressive, you know, I'd call it a soft roader kind of thing. Like, it will go off-road. It will tame trails. It'll handle mud and snow. And that's one of the cool things they had there in Chicago. I was really, you know, pleased with that one.
All right. Well, hold on. You just brought up a new term that I have yet to hear before. A soft roader. Okay. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it. The new Toyota RAV4, they're going to make a TRD, Toyota Racing Development Pro version of it. And he calls it a soft roader, like an off-roader. But I kind of like this. This is good. I mean, these are vehicles that, like I said, I always thought of it kind of like a poodle, just a good dog, you know, hyperallergenic or whatever they are, where they, you know, our dog doesn't molt, doesn't molt, and that's chickens and birds, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't drop hair all over the place. This is really kind of funny. I don't know how I took it into that whole realm, but we'll come back and fix it on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
Brian Moody's here talking about the cars, the new stuff from the Chicago Auto Show. Hang with us.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
I feel good. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Joining me from autotrader.com, executive editor, is Brian Moody. We just got done talking about some stuff from the Chicago Auto Show. And I didn't get to go this year. First time in, probably 15 or so years. But he says Toyota's coming out with a whole bunch of TRD stuff, but not just TRD, which is their performance division for their trucks and stuff. It's TRD Pro now. So what else was there, Brian?
Right, and like we said, the RAV4, I don't think is TRD Pro. It's more like TRD Off-Road.
Okay,
so,
okay.
You know, it'll still get the job done. Also, they had 2020 Subaru Legacy with a much nicer interior, nice big touchscreen in the middle. That's a good one. I like that car. I think that will be a good test for what the sedans look like going forward, because Subaru has always had that, you know, standard all-wheel drive on most of their cars, even the sedan, like the Legacy. So we'll see what happens with that one. There's also another interesting vehicle there, the Ram Cabin Chassis. Now, that sounds like, you know, maybe it's a new board game. But what it is when you see, like, an ambulance made out of a Ford F-250, or when you see, like, a Ryder moving truck, that's a cabin chassis. Like, it's just the truck cab, and they sell it with a blank in the back where the pickup bed would go. It's just blank, and you add whatever you want, utility bed. So normally, that's not the kind of thing that we would talk about, but here's why that's significant, because Chevy gave up on that a while ago, and then most of the cars that you see, most of the trucks you see for this, you know, industrial use, ambulances, police wagons, moving vans, utility trucks, a lot of those are Fords, and I think that Ram feels like they have an in that market, because they've established a reputation of being good, solid, reliable trucks. What I'm curious to see is how the interior is going to play out with these cabin chassis trucks, because, you know, you expect something. Can you imagine getting like a, you know, like a Ryder rental for moving, and the interior is like all plush, and you're like, wow, I'm going to keep this.
Right.
So that's interesting.
All right. Well, you know, it's funny. It's auto show this year, it seems, is odd. I don't know why. There's just not a lot of like earth-shaking great stuff coming out in 2019. You know, even like the Mustang Shelby GT500. You know, they finally showed. I was like, all right, that's cool. But it wasn't like, of course, they haven't actually still told us the horsepower on this thing yet. Was that there, by the way? It must have been.
There was a huge Ford display. But here's why I think. I know what you're saying, and I agree with you, but here's what we're really getting out of these auto shows. Yes, no big flash bang, wow, that's going to change my life, like a Ford GT or a Hellcat or a Demon. Okay, I get that. But what they're doing is updating and making all new, very important models.
Right.
So, for example, update for the Nissan Rogue Sport, update for the Subaru Legacy, update for the Volkswagen Jetta, which is the GLI, update for the Ford Explorer that we saw in Detroit. I mean, these are all important cars. They just are existing cars. So that's not always, it's always more fun to see something when it's completely new, but you still need to have a new version of what your existing things are. And that's kind of what we're seeing.
All right. Now, let me ask you, I know that Kia has come out with the new Telluride, which is their eight passenger SUV, which looks really, really good. I know they were giving rides there. I don't know if you had a chance to take a ride or did anything like that.
Love. I'm just going to say that. I'm already love this car. Wow. I want one for my own personal car. I think it looks terrific. Now, in all fairness, I haven't driven it.
Okay.
So could that ruin it? I don't know. Maybe. But I know what they've done in the past. I can base my feelings on how is the Sorento, how is the Cadenza, how is the Optima, and I have a good feeling that it's going to be a really terrific thing. I posted a picture of that on my Instagram account, and everybody commented, oh, is that a Volvo or is that something?
Yeah.
No, it's a Kia. And I think they're going to do well. And how about this? Built in Georgia.
Yeah, right. What is it?
West Point, right?
West Point, Georgia.
Yeah, American jobs.
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, that, you know, they're late to the game with a big SUV like this, which is, I think they consider this midsize, but, you know, it's a pretty good size machine. And I think the price, the starting price is in the low 30s, which really, and by the looks of it, and the pricing of it really puts it in the running. And with the J.D. Power and Associates, you know, award for quality and all that kind of stuff going for them, their gigantic, long, what do they have? The warranties that are like, you know, 10-year, 100,000-mile, whatever they are.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think that it's going to be a winner for them. And I'm kind of glad this company has really done some amazing stuff lately with the Stinger, which is a pretty awesome car.
That is a great car. Yeah, that's a great car. Now, remember, the Sorento has a third row. And remember, here's a little automotive trivia for you. Back in the day, in the 2000s, Kia did experiment with a large three-row SUV. It was even powered by a V8, if you wanted that. But it hit right at the time when gas prices were going up. And that was the Kia Borrego. Remember that one?
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
See how quickly we forget.
Yes,
so
we do.
They've been there before,
but
it just the timing didn't work out. They made the Sorento, you know, take the heavy lifting. The Sorento is a good Highlander competitor.
Right.
Now they have something that's a little bit bigger, and I think I'm hoping the best for it because to me it looks great.
Well, it's fantastic. All right. Well, we'll get to drive it here pretty soon, I'm sure, and you guys will all see it. If you want to go check it out, autotrader.com. Brian Moody, thank you, sir. Then I
saw her face. Thank you.
All right. Autotrader.com. The Drive with Alan Taylor is brought to you by Kia's boldest SUV ever, the 2020 Telluride. Kia. Give it everything. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And joining us now, my pal, my buddy, my friend, BJ Killeen, automotive extraordinaire, journalist extraordinaire. I haven't had any coffee today. I got to tell you, I think I should probably leave the show right now while we're ahead. You know what happens? You know me, BJ, with coffee. It's like, kind of like crack cocaine or heroin or both.
Yes.
But when I don't have it, it's like I honestly cannot think. I'm a drug addict to a drug called coffee. And I haven't had it. I'm going through withdrawals and I can't think very clearly. But anyway, so forgive me. I'm going to be, that's why you're here though. You're here to pick up the slack where I drop the ball and it actually turns out to be a pie and it splats and I get down on the ground and start eating it anyway. The point is that that's my life right now. So
is there a point? I was wondering.
That's my life. I have to, you have no idea what I'm going through right now, being a caretaker to my dad. It's this is a whole, I'm starting, you know, I used to say I'm a muscle car guy, right?
Yeah.
Not anymore. I want the car to drive itself, take my dad down to get his preparation H, whatever he needs, and take him there and bring him back, and I don't want to be in the car. So I am all about the self-driving car now. Bring it on, okay?
I got you. Okay. Well, you know, I'll be honest. At the Chicago Auto Show, which you missed, but I went to, I didn't see any autonomous vehicles because it was all about the trucks and the anniversary. So, and I don't want to pile on top of your problems, but I do want to make you feel kind of old. Because this year is the 30th anniversary of the Acura NSX and the Mazda MX-5 Miata.
Oh, my gosh,
so
right?
How old do you feel now?
Yeah,
right?
Now, so, listen, I need a self-driving car fast! Okay.
Yeah, not for your dad, maybe for yourself.
I know. I'm ready for it. Anyway, God bless him. All right, so Brian just got done talking about the poodle of SUVs, which is the Toyota RAV4. I think that's a great, beautiful vehicle. But, you know, and I like how he called it a soft roader. 2020 Legacy sedan, a new one coming out. Ram's cabin chassis deal, that's kind of a ho-hum. Maybe not for the workaday Joe that may, you know, want to put a flatbed or whatever, or the ambulance people. But the one that to me was the big one was the Kia Telluride. I cannot wait to get behind the wheel. I know it's not even coming out till later on this year. But this vehicle to me looks really exciting because, first of all, it's really good looking. They really did a good job. Got to hand it to Kia. Their stylists are fantastic. We know their warranties are great and everything. But the price point, a buddy of mine went out the other day, true story, and spent 40 large on a Volkswagen Atlas. 40 grand.
Yep.
And he goes, I got the cheapest one they had. And I'm like, wait a second. He's like, yeah, they were like 50 grand. And he said, I could get one for X, but they didn't have any of those. So anyway, and he loves the vehicle. There's a lot of great vehicles, but the Telluride starting at like 32 or something thousand bucks. This is a bargain for this machine.
Yeah, and you're right. We haven't driven it yet, but it's very attractive, very modern looking in the back, which is really nice. And yeah, Peter Schreier, the head designer for Kia, has just done a phenomenal job with every single vehicle that they have. You know, I'm partial because we have a Kia Sedona minivan. Right, right. And you know, we got 100,000 miles on that vehicle, and it's just solid. I mean, it's still running like crazy. So it's a lot of fun.
I cannot believe your husband has put 100,000 miles on that thing. It seems like it was like a month ago he got it. I don't know. He drives like a maniac.
Yeah, it's 4 years old now, but it's still just running great. Man. So we absolutely love it. So to the point that I might even consider buying a little Kia Soul or something like that. So my options are open. But after going to the auto show, I'm telling you, there's a lot more to have to think about now that all the vehicles are out. You know, the 35th anniversary of the Jetta even happened this year, and they've got a 35th anniversary model. But they also introduced a 2019 Jetta GLI. And the GLI basically has the engine from the Golf GTI. So you got a 2-liter turbocharged 4 with 228 horsepower and 258 pound-feet of torque. That's 80 horsepower and 60 pound-feet more than the standard Jetta model. So you think that is going to be fun to drive. And it comes with a 6-speed manual, one of the few manufacturers that still offers a manual transmission in the lineup. It's got a limited slip differential. It's got a sport suspension, Golf R front brakes. So it's really going to be a fun little ride, and I can't wait till it comes out. It's going to be on sale in spring, and I'm going to jump in that one, and we can have a good time with that.
You know, the one time I got pulled over doing 126 in a 55 was in a Volkswagen VR6, and the guy says to me, can I ask you why you're going so fast?
Because I can.
First of all, I was like, these things are so fun to drive. And there wasn't many people there. It was early in the morning. I was heading up to Pebble Beach from Southern California to Central California on the coast, and it was like hardly anybody out there. I was just hauling butt. And the guy was going the other direction. He had his radar. Oh, he got me. You know, I just pulled over before he could even turn around. I was like, all right, I'm dead. I said, you know what? Honestly, truthfully, I wanted to put it in sixth gear and see what the RPM would be at like 100 miles an hour. And I did that. And I was like, oh, my gosh. It was like 3,000 RPMs, 100 miles an hour. I thought, that's crazy. So I thought, I wonder what 125 miles an hour is like. How many RPMs, right? And it's so funny because it's just one of those stupid things. I got pulled over one other time in a Corvette doing the same thing. It's one of those weird, dare I say, gearhead guy things you got to do. It's like, I wonder how many RPMs. I had a 15-speed Mack truck one time. And I had 10 cars. This is when I used to own a wrecking yard, believe it or not. I used to go to the wrecking yard auctions, and I would buy these cars, and I would, you know what I realized? I got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. I'll tell you the story on the other side of the break.
Okay.
This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. I do drive fast. Don't do as I do. All right? That's for sure.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge Muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Yeah, well, we're talking about the Chicago Auto Show. So, of course, ZZ Top, Jesus just left Chicago. BJ Colleen is on the line. I went way overboard. This is the, what you're hearing is the withdrawals of crack coffee. I mean, just coffee. Crack cocaine to Alan Taylor. Anyway, yes, I went like 100 miles an hour one time in a 10-car hauler to see what the RPMs was in 15th speed, right? And I was like, why do they put 15 gears in these things, right? Anyway, big trucks are kind of fun. You know, all I can say is that do as I say, not as I do, okay? Don't go that fast. That's when I was like 27 years old. I was stupid.
Not on the street anyway. If you want to do that, go to the track. Seriously.
You can't put a car hauler on a racetrack, although we could try.
Well, you can put anything you want. If you're going to pay for it, the track time, you do whatever you want.
That's true. All right, so you were talking about the 30th anniversary of some vehicles. One was the Mazda Miata, the MX-5. The other one was, which one was
the
it?
Acura? NSX.
Yep, NSX, yep. Which is, I mean, silliness is what, that here we are 30 years down the road, and people are paying like a ton of money for those things, probably more than they cost new, or at least what they cost new 30 years later. Is Jetta 30 years old? Is that what you said? That's crazy.
35. I don't want to scare you, but
35,
yeah.
God.
I know.
So a lot of anniversaries.
Tons. I just want to fill you in on the Mazda MX-5 Miata, though, because it's pretty cool. And if people want to see it, they can go to the Drive with Alan Taylor on Facebook. I posted all kinds of photos with little captions on the site there. So go ahead if you want to take a look and see what it looks like. But the Mazda MX-5 Miata 30th Anniversary Edition is racing orange, and that was inspired by the bright yellow Miata Club Racer concept from 1989. But it's, if you like orange, you got it, because it's on the brake calipers, it's on the stitching inside, it's on the door sills. You got Recaro seats, Brembo brakes, which we know is great.
Yeah.
Manual transmission, Bilstein shocks. It comes in a hard top or an RF, which is the convertible soft top. There's only 500 coming to the U.S. They're going to make 3,000 total. The RF starts at $38,515. Now, if you remember the original Miata when it first came out, it was like an affordable, little fun runabout kind of car. And that affordability's kind of gone away now. So, but it's nice. So, but you know, the truth is, there were some cars, but most of the auto show was all about the trucks and all about the heavy duty trucks, because the Chevy Silverado came out. I don't know if Mr. Moody talked about this, but the Chevy Silverado HD, it's winning the tow wars for right now. The max tow capability is 35,500 pounds. Okay. Ooh. That's what the Chevy Silverado HD with the Duramax turbo diesel V8 can tow, 910 pound-feet of torque. That's absolutely amazing. Until you hear that the Ram heavy duty can do 1,000 pound-feet of torque. It's just ridiculous. And we haven't even heard, because the new F-Series Super Duty is coming out, and we're pretty much sure that's going to be even more than that. So it's just, the numbers are just astronomical.
You know, the beautiful thing is, it's what they're doing with the combination of the gearheads in these car companies, and we'll call them the tech geeks, right? They're working together in concert to be able to create amazing things like what you just described, 1,000 pound-feet of torque out of a clean-burning diesel that gets really good fuel economy when you're not towing, which is amazing, because you used to have to trade one for the other. You get 8 miles to the gallon, 9 miles to the gallon, you know, whether you're towing or not, kind of a thing.
Yep.
Where I have a 2017 Dodge Ram, I should say Ram, because it used to be called Dodge Ram, now it's just Ram. And I have a diesel, and I was the other day, I think I talked about it last week, I was on the freeway on the flats coming back from Arizona, and I'm going with the flow of traffic at like 72 or 3 miles an hour. And I looked down, I'd been going 90 miles down the freeway. My average miles per gallon out of a 1-ton, 4-door crew cab, dual rear-wheeled, 4-wheel drive truck,
22 miles to the gallon average.
Amazing.
Isn't that
absolutely
crazy?
Absolutely amazing.
So that's
it really
technology
is.
Working with the guys that really, you know, in the part of the organization, they're like, we got to tow a big trailer. And now I got to tell you, I had a commercial driver's license, CDL, because I had that big, giant 10-car hauler, and I used to tow cars all the time, and I'd have a 3-car trailer, a 4-car setup to where I had one on the bed of the truck, and then, you know, of course, I had, what they called a rocket launcher ramp setup on it. So we put a car in the bed of the truck, in essence, and then it was towing a trailer with 3 cars on it. It was so long. It was ridiculous. This is a pickup truck, and I used to think to myself, this is crazy. I will not let anybody else drive this truck. It's dangerous, right? Because I thought, I can do it, but not anybody else. But today, you've got exhaust brake. You've got all these things working for you, bigger brakes, better suspension, on and on and on. And today, 35,000 pounds is insanity. I remember I weighed one time, and I was 26,000 pounds, and I went, oh, my God, I got to pull over and take one of these cars off, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like today, that's nothing. I love where we are in this technological age of, we still have the best of amazing technology and the best of amazing gearheads working together. 840 horsepower with the Demon. I love that. It's insanity, you know?
It is absolutely crazy. And you know what's fun about the trucks too now is that it's not just about how much they can tow and how much they can pull, but they're doing all other kind of really cool things too, like the GMC Multi-Pro tailgate. I'm sure you saw this.
Yeah, that's a
Super Bowl commercial.
Yep.
It's interesting. I mean, there's 6 different ways to do it. Personally, I thought that it was a little clumsy to have to operate all these things and you're not exactly sure how everything worked. To me, the Ram pickup that had the swing away doors, the barn doors on them.
That's cool.
Was called a multifunction tailgate. That was really cool because the fact that, you know, being vertically challenged that I am, I can never always reach across the tailgate to get into the truck bed.
Right.
It's true. And if you open those doors up, I can reach directly into it. And the other thing that they mentioned that I thought was great is the fact that you can use a forklift to load things in there because you don't have to lay it on the tailgate.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about that. You can put it right into the truck bed. So I thought, you know what, that's pretty cool too. Now, Ram doesn't have the same max tow. They're only at 35,220, but I think that's still going to get the job done. You know, it's absolutely amazing.
Only 35.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
So if you guys miss what BJ just said about the new Ram truck tailgate, yes, it splits in half. It's more like 60-40 by the look of it.
Yep, it is.
And it opens up like barn doors to where you're not having to fold the tailgate down anymore. You open it like a door. It's the coolest thing. Again, everybody doing a better job constantly at refinements. We'll take a little break, come back and talk about cars. This is a car show. Thank God. It was almost a cooking show for a few minutes. It was a break in the law show for a little while there. But right now we're going to come back to cars. It is The Drive.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
It is The Drive. Welcome back all across America and around the world and out into outer space. We have Martians that have been sending me emails and texts saying how much they love the show. Thank you, Ziglar. And just because I know he listens every week. BJ Colleen joining us, automotive journalist extraordinaire. I did miss the Chicago Auto Show. She's given us some highlights and updates. Why is that important to you listening in LA or Chicago? No, Chicago, yes, okay. Florida or Washington State or wherever you might live. Why? Because these auto shows are where they kind of show the world, you know, for whatever reason, it's always a big deal to us, BJ. And everybody's like, so what about Chicago? Well, what happens in Chicago, there's like 4 or 5 major shows. LA is the big one now. New York is the other big one. Chicago is a huge show, but for some reason they don't ever really have like all huge news at the huge show, but it's huge because of the amount of people. Sometimes the Paris Auto Show can be big. Geneva can be big. Tokyo can be big, but they kind of, you know, the shows that are in the United States are kind of the big shows for news for the automotive industry. And that's why we're talking about Chicago Auto Show.
Yeah, and also the cars that you're going to see on your lots are the ones that we're talking about today. Right, you know, right. So they'll just be there in a couple of months or maybe at the end of the year. But at least you're getting a preview. And if you want to see what they look like, go to the Drive with Alan Taylor on the Facebook page, and you can see all the great pictures. I even took pictures of the tailgate for the Ram in both positions, and for the GMC, I've got a couple there. So, you know, just want to give you a good idea of everything that's out there. And you know, come to us for the source, because that's what we are.
You
right?
know, and thank you, because when you look down and you see who's liked this page, and you know, and early on, it's like, I'm like hitting like, I'm like, hey, ooh, look at those pictures. Wow, look at that. I'm like, BJ's really populating my face. The radio show's Facebook. Thank you, BJ. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thanks for letting me go to Chicago. It was fun. Thank you, Nissan, actually. They took a lot of journalists. So, and speaking of Nissan, we might as well talk about what they brought, because they had a couple things. You know, again, Chicago, like you said, it's not the biggest show, but they do have some interesting things. And Nissan introduced a Pathfinder Rock Creek edition for 2019. And, you know, if you want to dress up your Pathfinder a little bit more, it's got like a black mesh grille and black roof rails and black fascia and special badging, you know, just something kind of cool. But what I liked about the Rock Creek edition, besides the fact that it looked good, is that it's only about another $995 on top of the regular Pathfinder price. You know, that's usually, if you did all those things individually, it'd cost you about $2,000 to do that. So it's nice that they kind of put it in a package and charging you less than $1,000. So I think that's good. And then they introduced the 2020 Rogue Sport, and they took the Rogue, you know, a very popular compact SUV, and dressed it up a little bit, made it a little sportier. It's got a new bumper and a grill, new headlights, taillights. No difference in the powertrain. Would like to see a little bit more horsepower from that 2-liter turbo. But they put some good colors on it. It's got like nitro lime metallic and monarch orange metallic. But this one that we showed at the auto show was in red. I don't know why they didn't wear the other photos, other colors. But and then Nissan Safety Shield, which is basically their driver assistance features, is standard on all models for 2020. Mm. So that was their little introduction. There was a Range Rover Evoque that they showed off as well, which if you looked at it, it looks a lot like the current Range Rover Evoque. So it's like, well, I'm glad you guys updated it, but you know, you'd have to really, really know your vehicles to tell the difference. One feature I really liked, there was a vehicle, the F-150 Harley Davidson. And you know, Alan, I'm sure you've driven them, that Ford has been creating special edition F-150s focused on the Harley Davidson, which is the motorcycle company. This year, though, Ford didn't do it. It was done from a company that's called Tuscany. It's an aftermarket company. And the truck looked really good. I don't think I have a picture of it, but the truck looked really good. You probably go online and check it out. They're only making 1,000 units, and it's a Super Crew body only. But you can get either the 5-liter V8 or the 3.5 EcoBoost. They put a Flowmaster exhaust on it. It's got a Ram Air hood. It's got a BDS custom suspension. It's got Fox shocks. Now, here's the only drawback is that it's not the cheapest vehicle you're going to see.
Uh-oh.
It starts at $84,900 for the V8. It can go up to $97,000.
You know what they're banking on? They're banking on that guy sitting there right now smoking his stogie, chewing hard. He's chomping down on it going, damn. But he's thinking, I can still afford it. Because he's retired. He's got his Harley. He needs something to take his Harley on the road when he doesn't want to drive it to a Sturgis or wherever it is where his wife will go with him, because she don't want to ride the bike all the way to Sturgis. But she will go in the Harley truck, and they make a little thing out of it. And, you know, it's like, I get it. It's funny because trucks, I mean to tell you, think of the profit margin in trucks.
Oh, huge.
That's where they make, I mean, it's insanity. So when you're talking about that much money, I mean, it's like, wow, wowzer. But, and here's, I think the navigating the marketplace is really going to be something people have to spend a little time doing, because you can spend that same 70-80,000 bucks on a truck, and if you just kind of, I'll take it, one of those deals, right?
Yeah.
Or if you do a little bit of homework, which, you know, I mean, come on, we're convenience store buyers, all of us are. We stop at 7-Eleven and pay twice as much for a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs as we would at Safeway or Vons or whatever, because it's convenient, it's in and out, we don't have to go, you know, like 8 miles to the back of the store. You know why they put the eggs in the back of the store? Because you're going to buy peanut butter. Yeah, you're going to all the other stuff. So, I mean, if you're going to be a convenience store truck buyer, you're going to pay big, big money for it. You guys, do your homework. You can get some deals. There are some deals, and you can save yourself $10,000 when you're talking like that. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of eggs. Hold on. Let me take a break. Don't go anywhere. We got more cars to talk about here on The Drive. I want to know, did you get a chance to see the new Chevy Blazer while you were there? That's what I want to know on the other
side. Yes, I did.
Okay. What is this called? What's the matter with you? I think that's what it is. This is called What's the Matter with You? I don't know. It's The Drive. We'll be right back.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. All right, BJ Colleen is joining us. I can't tell you how happy I am to have BJ on the line here. She brightens my day every single time I talk to her, which because of Facebook is like every 4 or 5 hours. You know,
at the longest, between texting and photos and talking.
I hate it too. When I send her a picture, she goes, "I saw that." I was like, "Damn!" Oh, like that picture that I sent you last night with the President Trump, where they had shaved his head and he had a beard.
Yeah, he looked bad, man.
I thought he looked good, bad. You know what I mean? Kind of bad. You know, he kind of looked like Gorbachev with a beard. I don't know. It's kind of.
I thought you were talking about the Wienermobile skidding off in the snow, God, but that's an old picture. But it's
that
funny.
Was so funny. Anyway,
well, I told you we were driving down the freeway in L.A. one time, and we saw on the other side of the highway that the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was on fire, and that was the one photo that my husband Scott, the photographer, said I'm sorry he ever missed, because you know that was just a joke waiting to happen right there.
Right,
you know.
Exactly.
Weenie roast. It was just
exactly. You got to be careful, you know, because of the amount of stations we have on the show. But yeah, that was anyway. Okay, the Blazer, the Chevy Blazer was to me. Look, General Motors, Chevrolet. I love you guys, right? But I was a little disappointed. I have a Blazer. I have a fantastic 1974 full removable hardtop. I love it. I'm falling back in love, and so is the rest of the world, with not only the look, the size, the feel, the capabilities of the old Blazer, and then we get this, you know, kind of like a
uninspired
milquetoast version. You know, it's like I was a little bit sad by the Blazer, but that doesn't mean they can't come along and make, you know, Ford, you know, did a Raptor version of the truck, and all of a sudden, holy mackerel, they could do some sort of a, you know, something fancy, like you were talking about the Pathfinder did that Rock Creek edition. Come on, General Motors Chevrolet, do something cool with that Blazer, please. Anyway.
Well, their problem is that Ford's bringing out the Bronco.
I know.
And the Blazer basically is a glorified SUV, let's be honest. You know, it's not anything like it used to be. When Ford brings out the Bronco, if they can make it stand up and be more like the Bronco of the old days, they'll kill the market. They'll smoke Chevrolet. And so I don't know, Chevrolet just was in a rush to get it out before the Bronco came out, but they just totally took the wrong steps and the wrong move. And so I hope they rectify this soon by fixing the design on it, because it really it's just nothing special. There's nothing you'd be going, oh God, I have to have the Blazer.
But see, I feel like the Pathfinder was that same way. Like they a dumbed down version of what the original Pathfinder was a monster. I mean, it would kind of go and do anything you needed it to do. But I think that what happens is they refined itself out of itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden they're calling it a Pathfinder when they should have given that thing a different name and brought back something that was like really super capable that would find new paths. Pathfinder, right? So, and Blazer, you know, the trail blazer. I want to be able to blaze. I don't want to be able to blaze the highway. I want to be able to blaze the off-road. Anyway,
anything else? What you want to blaze.
Yeah.
As disappointing as the Blazer is, what was kind of cool that Chevy had in the booth was that they had a Silverado completely made out of Legos. And I posted that on the Facebook page to 534,544 Lego bricks. It took them 2,000 hours to build it, and it took 18 trained Lego builders to do it. So, I mean, it is just totally cool. I mean, you really look around and you're thinking, oh, they just glued some onto the truck, you know, but they didn't actually. If you look, the wheels and the tires are all made out of Legos, and the front end, they've got little lights behind the little headlights. It's just really cool. They've even got the names in the back. I mean, they did a great job with this Lego truck. It's just unbelievable when you take a look at it. So hopefully it'll come on tour some other places. And if you get a chance to see it, you got to check it out in person because it was impressive. It really
well,
was.
I got to tell you, I was looking through, again, Facebook, of course, the crazy world of Instagram and Facebook and social media. There was a kid that made a prosthetic arm. Did you see that, the video? Out of Legos.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, cool. He took his arm with a claw apart, and he made an arm out of Legos, and he then put all the pieces back onto where the little clamp thing would still clamp down onto things.
Oh.
And I'm telling you what, you got to Google this prosthetic Lego arm. I probably should have, shared it out there. I thought, nah, I can't talk about Legos. I'm a man. Anyway, but pretty cool stuff. All right, BJ, Colleen, thank you very much. I love you. You're the best. You're the best. Great coverage. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, she put a bunch of pictures up, you guys. Something that I'm even too lazy to do. But it's, it just shows. How do we make it through life without our friends and loved ones? I couldn't do it. BJ, Colleen, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. It was a lot of fun.
Give that husband of yours a big kiss right on the mouth. Tell him it's from me, and then I watch him spit, and you can say, that's exactly right. That's what you should do. All right, we'll be back on the other side of the news.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right. I'll apologize. All right. Okay. All right. They're telling me I have to apologize for the whole first hour. Goodness gracious. The guy, has a little bit of fun and he's got to apologize. It's not right. I'm just talking about cars. Whatever I did that I needed to apologize for, I'm sorry. Okay. So now you have to go back and listen to the first hour. That could be a trick. I don't know. But they told me I had to apologize. Carl Brower joining us. Carl, I apologize in advance for whatever you and I may talk about that I will get in trouble for, I'm sure. It's the weekend. I'm supposed to be able to let down my mullet in the back, party in the front. No, what is it? Business in the front, party in the back. That's what the mullet is, right? Evidently, I need a haircut. So how you been, Carl, by the way? How you been? Carl Brower, everybody, Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, Dealer.com, Executive Publisher. He's the big guy. So whatever we said with, let's see, hold on. Isn't Brian Moody part of your group, Auto Trader? Yes. So I think you may have to listen to what Moody was talking about. I don't know. He was talking about, actually, I said to him, the Toyota RAV4 was the poodle of small SUVs, right? because they're making
poodle?
Yeah, the poodle. You know, poodle. Poodles are nice dogs. They do everything kind of good, right? Like the Toyota RAV4.
Well, because it's well groomed. What do you mean?
It's just it does everything good. They're nice dogs, easy to care for. The RAV4 does everything good, but now they're making like an off-road edition. It's like putting a spiked collar on a poodle. Anyway, the Chicago Auto Show. The whole last hour we talked about Chicago Auto Show. So, but anyway. How you been?
Well, you know, the most important thing that happened at the Chicago Auto Show, as you and I both know, was the reintroduction of Sublime on the Mopars. I mean, come on.
Let's Sublime, you mean the color green? Oh, geez, come on.
Sublime, baby, the coolest muscle car color. I mean, that and Plum Crazy can battle it out. But, yeah. I was quite happy to see that we've gone back to the Sublime offerings from Mopar. So
you're calling it Sublime. It's Sublime. It's just like lime green. Who cares?
Right. Right. It's anything but Sublime, which is why I like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
it's
funny.
Awesome.
Well, but
no, you asked how I'm doing.
Yes.
And, of course, you're supposed to say fine and good. And, well, the truth is, as I talk to you right now, I'm finally okay. But the last 4 days have been pretty brutal, cold symptoms-wise. And normally, that would have nothing to do with cars, except that when the symptoms sprang up, it was 23 days after I'd left the Detroit Auto Show. And anyone who was watching the news in the last few weeks saw that there was a rubella exposure to all the journalists at the Detroit Auto Show, January 13th through the 15th. And you had an incubation period of up to 23 days that you could get the symptoms if you'd been exposed. And the 23rd day, I wake up with massive body aches and 102 temperature.
Nice.
So I'm like, give me a break. The last day, come on, it can't be right. But then I have to actually think about it because of that whole thing.
Right.
So I got the results recently. No rubella, Alan. But the first thing I tested for was flu, and it wasn't flu. And it took a couple more days to get the rubella results. And you're like, okay, I know I'm really sick, and I know it's not the flu. This isn't helping my confidence that it's not rubella.
So what it turns out, everybody, he's telling us, he doesn't want it. It's a venereal disease popping back up, right? Is that what you're So are you feeling better now, though? I mean, he doesn't have venereal. I hope you don't, but... So what did you have? You just had a cold, basically, is what you're saying.
I just some kind of non, you know, not official flu virus. And that's kind of the other joke, too, right? It's like people get the flu shot and then they still get the flu. It's like that's because there's more than one flu. They always want to tell you. It's like, right. Oh, we know this year's flu. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, the official flu of the year that, you know, it's like this year's color. You know, sometimes other colors show up, even though this color was the big color for fashion and houses and everything else and all. So another flu was floating around and I got it. So
I'm telling you, I'm afraid of those shots. You know, I took one of those shots one time. What do they call those? A vitamin shot, right? And it's like I couldn't even hardly think that day. And then the next day I was like on heroin. So I don't know. I'm afraid of all these different shots. What is rubella? What happens with rubella, by the way? I have no idea.
It's Alan, it's German measles.
Oh,
it's German measles.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Actually venereal disease sounds better, actually. Anyway. Golly. I told you I was going to have to apologize, Carl. I'm sorry. I'm terrible.
See, we're already there.
I know. How do you talk about cars and VD? I know. We'll talk about Tesla when we come back. That's kind of the venereal disease of cars. Oh, I just insulted. I am sorry. I'm sorry.
More apologies. More apologies.
We'll be right back. I'll find out something else I can apologize for. It's The Drive.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
All right, I'll apologize again. Here we go. I am sorry for saying what I said about the Teslas. They're not the venereal disease of cars, which makes me a human mump. Didn't you say it was a mump? Oh, no, measle. I'm a human measle. And David,
come on, Alan.
David, hold on. David Newhart from Motor Trend Magazine. We work together at Motor Trend. You know David Newhart, right? He calls me, he says, you're such a weasel. But now I'm going to call myself a human measle. or a mump.
There you go.
I'm a mump.
Well, anyway. You know, you can't be saying those things about Tesla. I mean, you know, rubella of cars, influenza of cars, but come on, let's not get to the VD of
But that. Here's That's the deal. Here's the deal. First of all, how do you lower the price of your car twice in 1 month, but the price actually goes up? That's counterintuitive, Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book, dealer.com and Auto Trader, executive publisher. How do you explain that to the average Joe workaday guy like me?
Nothing up my sleeve, and yet, watch what happens. No, the price of the cars are going up effectively because he's lost half of his federal tax credit, right? He was getting $7,500 off of people who bought them were, and now they're only getting $3,750, and he's lowered the price of the car. First, I think it was $2,000, and then it was another $1,100. So he's down $3,100 on the price, but they went up $3,750 because of the tax credit going away. So
boy, that is definitely some kind of magic, because we've lowered the price of the car again, everybody. Yet in the background, the little echo is, but the price actually went up, right? It's like,
yeah.
What? How? It's like, you know, and listen, they're selling a lot of them. All right. So, okay, I get that. I understand, you know, the price of success, that it changes his tax situation, I guess, or whatever you're saying there. And so they lose some of their tax credits. And I get all that. Now, how do we deal with the fact that they did sell, I don't know, in December, I think it was like 25,000 of these cars. Is that right? 25,000? And maybe it was 2,500. I don't know, but it was a lot in comparison to Cadillac sold like 910. So all of a sudden,
they're selling
weird.
Them.
Yeah,
they're
right?
selling them. They're one of the best-selling luxury brands now in the U.S. And depending on how you want to slice the data, as you know, you can slice data and to make it tell you whatever story you want. But there's undeniably an impact to the luxury market and the EV market because of Tesla's Model 3 over the last 12 months. And if he can keep the demand up in the U.S., and also start to supply the demand that's growing in China and Europe in the coming 6 to 12 months, he could end up with quite the volume output and potentially, just believe it or not, quite the profit potential. This company that has, you know, it's been profitable the last two quarters, but otherwise really wasn't for the first 15 years of its existence. He's on the cusp of having very strong profitability, especially if he gets that plant in China constructed, where he's going to save even more money on his costs for importing the car and more money on the construction of the car. It'll be much cheaper to produce when he's producing it there, and yet he'll probably be able to keep the price about the same, meaning profit goes way up.
I was saying this morning earlier on when I first started the show, I've now, you know, during the news break, a little coffee, and I'm starting to feel normal again. But man, I'm a baby boomer, and so of course now I'm dealing with my parents' healthcare and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm really seeing the value of a self-driving car. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, okay, I used to be, me and Carl were like, we both own a Dodge Demon, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, bring on the self-driving car that will pick up the parents. Although I almost feel like, you know, a service with a person that can help them get in and out of the car would still be better, the human touch. So now I'm waffling back and forth to where I was thinking, you know, with Tesla and his ability, since his car is so computerized and electric and all that, and he's kind of the, you know, he's the guy that's going to make some wild stuff happen with his, you know, with his tube. What do they call that big tube thing he's got? What's that called?
The Boring Company.
No, isn't he making like a tube that he's going to try and, you know, send people to the moon in a tube? I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, well. It's hard to keep track of what he's
anyway,
doing.
Anyway, this company, I mean, the autonomous car, you know, Volvo's doing a good job at it. They got cars running around. General Motors, all these car companies are looking at making the self-driving car. But I still, if I really sit down, don't drink too much coffee, turn the TV off and get in my Zen place, I still come back to, I love driving a car. And even if I can't drive, I don't want to be in a car by myself, having zero control to be able to, you know, talk to somebody while I'm in the car and say, hey, by the way, would you stop right in here? I want to get a cheeseburger at Mickey D's, you know, or In-N-Out Burger, whatever it may be. Point is that I want to have a human touch in my life. So, you know, the whole electric thing and the electric car, can we come back and talk on the other side of the break about our demons? We were talking about all the electric cars. Okay, well, I think that's what we have to do. We got to take a break. We're talking about electric cars and Tesla. I just think it's weird that the impression going out into the world, once again, is that the price went down on the Teslas, but it actually went up. That's why Carl Brower is here to help explain this kind of stuff. When we come back, we got to talk some demon talk. All right, you've had a year in it. You are, you've got a whole bunch of stuff here that you're putting up at KBB.com, wrapping up the long-term test of owning total ownership of a Dodge Demon for 1 year. Carl Brower covers that. The Drive with Alan Taylor is brought to you by Kia's boldest SUV ever, the 2020 Telluride. Kia, give it everything. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. My apologies to the people at Tesla. I know everybody, it's like every segment starts out with an apology. I don't know how I could do this. It's like, it's a good thing I'm the boss. Otherwise, I'd fire myself right now, right on the spot. Carl Brower.
You're on your own apology tour.
That's right. I'm on my apology tour. Oh, geez. Carl Brower joining us from Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, Dealer.com. He's the executive publisher. It's time to talk about demons. You and I both have had our Dodge Demons for 1 year. I have not hardly driven mine that much in the last 60 days. Because, you know, I mean, here, I live on in the Pacific Northwest, and when it starts raining, the demon doesn't like the rain, okay? I don't have the type of tires that, you bought some kind of, what do you call, all-season tires, right?
Well, it was the street tire package, which essentially is the same tires that the wide-body Hellcat comes in.
Okay, so mine still has these slicks that are made to take out and, you know, take to the racetrack, literally slicks that are street legal, barely. But you're not supposed to drive them in the rain. I actually signed something saying I would not drive in the rain, which, you know, $3,800 or whatever it costs for another set of wheels and tires was not in the payment plan for me. So the car, you know, during the winter months is like, oh, my God, I can't even hardly drive this car. And no, I haven't driven it. And it sucks. I go out there, I start it up, make sure the battery's good. But Carl keeps in Southern California, keeps right on driving his up and down the highways and the byways. And so you have a wrap-up of the long-term coverage of your Dodge Demon, 840 horsepower, 0 to 60, 2.3 seconds when you do all the right stuff. Pops a wheelie, fastest production car, I believe, in the world, unless somebody has done something different since we bought these cars. Maybe you can give us a little update on this whole thing. How's it been for your year?
It's been pretty amazing, Alan. I'm really thrilled with the car. I mean, I can't say I've put, you know, huge amounts of miles on it for some of the same reasons of you've stated. Believe it or not, it does rain every once in a while in California, and you're not supposed to drive it in those conditions. And I've got, you know, like you, I've got press trips I'm on, I'm traveling, I've got press cars, and I'm home a lot of the time. But I still managed to get about 4,000 miles on it, and I did drive it to the drag strip multiple times, including a drag strip that's 200 miles away. So I had multi-hundred mile days in the car. So you really get the feel for how it is when you're not at the track, but you're actually using it as a transportation device. And, I mean, I've got the sheet in front of me here. My lifetime average on fuel economy is 12.1 MPG. So it's about as efficient as you'd expect it to be, though I also can say on the few times where I've been mostly on the freeway, it's pulled as high as 15, too. So it does do over 15 MPG if you just get in it and keep your foot out of it. But like you, I'm not probably very good at that.
Hey, by the way,
I can dip into the supercharger boost.
Right. Well, and that's the difference between you and me driving these cars. I've driven it very little short distances. 3 days after I got it, I got in it and drove it 1,000 miles to Barrett Jackson, right? I actually went to Las Vegas first and then continued on to Scottsdale, Arizona from the Pacific Northwest and then drove home from there. And then I think I drove it another 400-500-600 miles each way to the next place. And then I went to LA again. And I've got like 4,400 miles on mine too, but then very little. But I got 20 miles to the gallon on the highway. doing one of my long trips, which just shows with even with 800 horsepower, 808, I think, without all the, you know, doing all the stuff, which if you know, you know, I got really good fuel economy because I drove it like a car on cruise control. Did fantastic. Comfortable. Amazing.
Excellent.
Machine.
Yeah.
See, here is, you're literally driving a stealth fighter that you can do amazing stuff with. And if you drive it like a normal human being, it really services you well.
You know, and that's what I think is fabulous about modern cars is that, you know, whether it's a Ford GT or a Dodge Demon or a McLaren S, you know, McLaren 720S, these are cars that will do things at drag facilities or race facilities that would have been inconceivable for a publicly, you know, a street legal vehicle not that long ago, like just a matter of years ago. And yet, when you aren't using them at a track facility, they're as easy to live with as, you know, a Camry, basically,
right,
a Toyota
right.
Camry.
Yeah.
And that's really what's amazing. And they're about as dependable, too. And, you know, my car, I just have the second oil change done on it. My total, like, operating costs, not including fuel, but, you know, maintenance costs on the car are around $250 for a year, oh. You know, with oil changes and tire rotation. Oh, and 50 of that, really, it's more like 200, because 50 of that is two different tire punctures I had to get fixed because, you know, screws got in the tire when I was driving through parking lots at drag facilities, you know, and you got to always wash that. So the same tire got screwed twice, literally, and caused, you know, and had to have two repairs done. That's so 50 of my 250 was stupid stuff like that. So yeah, $200 give or take for an annual 1 year of maintenance costs on the car. And, you know, it's the fastest, quickest accelerating car production model ever produced.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty amazing vehicle.
I love it. I love the machine. I love what it does. I love how comfortable it is. I love that they seem to be really holding their value. That we're kind of a number of the lucky people that got to buy one of the 3300 made. But then they came out with the Dodge Redeye, which is, what is it, 798 horsepower, which I'm going to say, if I ever sell my Demon, I will definitely be buying a Red Eye because to me, that's the next best thing. Fantastic job, Dodge, on coming out with, once again, an answer that, you know, people are wanting more of the Demons. Yeah, the Demon's a specialized machine, but now they can buy a Red Eye. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It goes like this: Challenger, then you can buy all the different iterations of the Challenger all the way up to right now, the Red Eye, which is just below, we'll call a Demon. We'll take another break. I want 5 more minutes with you because we didn't get finished. I didn't insult anybody
forget,
that second. Go ahead.
Don't forget, you can get that Red Eye in Sublime now, too.
Oh, it's Sublime. Oh, jeez. We'll take a break. It is The Drive.
World's come undone. Looking straight at the sun.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader and Dealer.com. Old friend, car guy. And Carl, I don't even have to apologize about that last segment. I'm going to get through the show.
Clear. Yeah, I don't think there's any legal issues from the last one.
I don't think I broke any rules. I don't think I upset anybody. I feel pretty good about it. I don't think we talked about everything before we get to Dennis Collins from, you know, Gas Monkey Garage, Collins Brothers Jeep and what have you. Where did we leave off? The Demon. We were loving on the Demon. Your whole story is at KBB.com on the 1 year ownership of a Dodge Demon, right?
Absolutely. And all. And if they have any trouble finding it, a quick Google Dodge Demon owner puts us at the first result because
wow.
It's called the long-term ownership report. So Dodge Demon long-term, Dodge Demon owner, anything, and it's the KBB coverage for a year. It's got 30 updates, including the wrap-up, plus video.
Nice. And then, by the way, did you almost wreck it at any given point? Can I just ask that? Is there any time where you went, oh, my God, I almost wrecked it?
You know what? I really haven't. The car's behaved itself so well. Okay. Last week, it was raining here, and I had to drive it to work, even though I didn't want to. And I was coming off of a corner, and I was like, you know, well, I'm just going to give a little throttle and all. And I was on the drag radials, and sure enough, it did exactly what it was supposed to do when I was doing what I wasn't supposed to do. But it was a quick counter steer, brought it right back in line. I'm like, yep, that's why you're really not supposed to drive these on days like this.
Yeah, I did a complete 360 in mine by letting off the gas too fast. That's how powerful a machine it is. Complete 360. So, yeah, people have argued that these cars are too dangerous for the average guy. I think there's some truth to that. These are such amazing, powerful machines. Just like, even, you know, it's not the only car that's that way. I think any massive horsepower hot rod can be that way. A Corvette, you could say the same about a Corvette. You know, any of these vehicles that have a lot of horsepower, you really need to take a driving school. All of us do. I don't care who you are. Carl and I have taken, I don't know, probably taken 10. You too, I'm sure. But I think
at least,
anytime you get a vehicle that has a lot of horsepower, you should take a driver course. Anyway, what else are we forgetting to talk about?
Loose nut, it's that loose nut behind the wheel, Alan. Exactly. You know, that's the scariest problem with any car.
Exactly. What else are we forgetting about here?
So I hear rumblings that somebody's selling their ACR Viper out there.
Oh, well, yeah. All right. Okay. So good point. If you guys want to see my car that is for sale right now, not my Demon, I'm keeping that. I have a 2016 Dodge Viper ACR, which is the American Club Racer, one of one. It has 7,000 miles, same deal. I picked it up in Texas and drove it all across the country over to the Pacific Northwest where I live, and it's got highway miles. I've never had it on a racetrack or a course. Have I driven it fast? A couple times? Yeah, hell yeah, I got to see what it's all about. It's a wild machine, but I've had it 3 years. And I've got something in mind I want to buy, so I'm going to give it up to a new owner. Believe it or not, it's at classiccars.com. I work with the folks at classiccars.com, and they have 40-plus thousand classic cars for sale at any given time, 40, 45, 49, whatever it is, 1,000 classic cars for sale. And I feel like the Dodge Viper ACR is a future classic, and it fits into that classic car thing. Same with our Dodge Demons, Carl. But I did put it for sale at classiccars.com. I would ask you guys, go check it out. See my car. You can see what it is, what I'm asking for it. Tell a friend. Help me sell it. There you go. But yeah, and I know you had to sell yours too, right? You sold your 05 GT Ford.
Yeah, it's that tough, you know, kind of fork in the road that every car guy comes to, you know. Sometimes you've had a car 6 months, sometimes you've had it 26 years. You know, I had my 1970 Plymouth GTX for 24 years. Got it in 86, sold it in 2010.
Wow.
So it can be tough to let a car go after you've had it for a while and you really enjoyed it. But, you know, ultimately you do have to always be considering your next move and what you want to do. And sometimes cars will stay with you forever, and most of the time, though, they'll move on to their next owner. Even my 05 GT, which that was the hardest car to let go, probably, of all of them. I mean, of all the vehicles I've sold, and I've owned at least 40 cars in my life, too, the 05 GT is the only one where, you know, if financial circumstances changed, I'd probably try to go retrieve it.
You know, got it now, at least you sold it to somebody you know. All right, you guys.
Exactly.
My Viper, my Dodge Viper ACR, American Club Racer, Extreme Aero, is for sale at classiccars.com. And it is an amazing machine. It's a true one of one. They will never build. They stopped building it, but they said they would not build another one like it. It has a little plaque right on the dash. If you're interested or know somebody, check it out. Classiccars.com. Do a search for Viper ACR. Carl Brower? Yeah, it's like we have to kind of cry on our pillows about the cars we've sold. And there's a new TV show. I think it's called The One That Got Away with Courtney Hansen. Right? Have you seen that? Have you seen that new show?
Yep.
It's out. So
I've heard good things.
This will be another one that got away, like my Ford Shelby GT500 Super Snake. I want that car back, but it'll come back someday, or I'll go buy and build another one just like it. All right, Carl Brower, thank you, brother.
Great being on with you, as always, Alan.
I'm glad you don't have rubella.
Me too.
Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com. Coming up next, Dennis Collins from Gas Monkey Garage and Collins Brothers Jeep. This is The Drive. We'll be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And joining me right now is my buddy Dennis Collins, Collins Brothers Jeep, Black Mountain Jeep Products, and you've seen him on Gas Monkey Garage Fast and Loud on Discovery Channel. His friend is the crazy Richard Rawlings, and but he's the workaday Joe, or the workaday Dennis, that actually does this for a living outside of that entertainment world. I don't know if you heard or not, Dennis. We were talking about, you know, how Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book and I were talking about our demons and all that and the red eyes. And I said, if I ever sell my demon, which I may, I mean, this is, you know, look, you got to set it free every now and then. I would buy a red eye. Now, I know you just sold one at Barrett Jackson.
Yes.
So why did you sell it? I mean, what the hell, right?
I wanted to test the market. I think the problem we had out there is most of the crowd didn't know what the red eye was yet.
Right.
So you got the first red eye to cross the block at $110,000, and the average demon's probably still around the 135 range. Same motor, 797 horsepower. You don't have the center computer to go with high octane fuel to gain the last 43 horsepower, but it's pretty insignificant. Unless you're just going to drag race only.
Right.
But basically, the Red Eye, to me, is a car that's set up for, I would best describe it as the Trans Am of the Demon. Obviously, the Demon's set up to go fast on the track, which I get, and I love mine. But if you're going to drive something fast on a track, like a Trans Am series track or something like that, or even on the road, it's a far superior car.
Well, so let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about Mopar cars and this red eye machine that I think you're right. I don't think people understand what the red eye is. I mean, you can buy a Challenger, you can buy them for like 30 grand. And all of a sudden, you know, they come out with this demon that's like 135 grand. Like you say, even the window sticker is only like 90. They're bringing such an amazing premium. And yet the red eye, people don't realize it's almost a demon. And I just think it's like, you know, right now, this is the car to be trying to buy.
I agree. It's a drivable demon. The other really neat thing about the Red Eye is it's a 203-mile-an-hour car.
Phew.
To get that top speed out of the gate, you know, in a factory car, you're looking at cars that are the $300,000-$500,000 mark.
Right.
The stance is wider. It's a wide body like a demon. But the car is set up to go fast and handle. Now, the Demon's set up to go fast in a straight line. You know, and I've driven my Demon on the highway. I know you've driven yours quite a bit. That is, that's not what that car is designed for.
Although it doesn't do it that bad, but that's why I can't wait to drive a Red Eye, because if what you're telling me is true, it's kind of a Trans Am version of the Demon.
Yeah, that's probably the way I would best describe it. And they're awesome. And from what I understand, they're going to be, the production's going to be much less. I can't say that's a fact, but the people that I know that are in the know are telling me that there could be as little as a third, as many of those as made as a Demon.
Ooh.
Which collective-wise, and in that range, I think even the Hellcat cars are always going to be somewhat collectible. I mean, whoever thought, it's like going to the dealership in 71 and buying one of the 1971 Hemi Challengers. It's such a thrill to go pick one of these things up with 800 horsepower.
I know. Well, all right, awesome. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about for a moment, because let's shift gears. Let's downshift and go back to classic cars. I don't know if you noticed or not, and I think that it's the talk on the street when it comes to the classic car and the collector car world, how all of a sudden matching numbers cars are not bringing the money that the Restomod cars are. It's like you would think that there should be, you know, some kind of equal playing field there, but really the Restomods are bringing huge money, and the matching numbers cars are like, you know?
Yeah, and the thing is, the platforms are using to build a lot of these desirable matching number cars. You know, they're taking Cudas and Challengers and Superbirds and mid-year Corvettes and, you know, first-generation Camaros, first-generation Mustangs, some of the most desirable platforms out there, and they're turning them into Restomods, which I understand. You know, people want big brakes and want cool air conditioning, they want the car to go fast. But let's just look at that from an investment standpoint real quick. Those cars are going to be really dated. That'd be like driving an ISCA show car from 1970 that we chromed everything. You remember way back when?
Right.
Skyjacker back and, you know, the velour interior and side exhaust. That Restomod trim is moving so fast that, from an investment standpoint, I, right now, putting the money in the market, I'd be buying the numbers matching stuff that has paperwork for the long hold.
Well, you know, and it's funny, I noticed, you know, you do this coffee walk thing, by the way. You guys should check out Dennis Collins' coffee walk, The Dennis Collins on...
Dennis Collins on Facebook.
Okay. And you just the other day, you went and you got an old Jag XKE that was pretty rare. It's like, I got to tell you, man, of course, everybody, for those who don't know, Dennis has had Wanted Dead or Alive, you know, classic cars Wanted Dead or Alive, in the Dallas newspaper for like 30 plus years. And they've now escalated that to where they have this stuff going on the web, like the .com version of that, you might say. And they're buying some amazing cars. But that Jaguar that I saw last week was like, what? That's a rare piece. So just, you know, the cars that you're getting, the question is, so when you buy one of these, do you go, well, I could throw a, you know, I could stuff a Coyote engine under the hood of that and make a real cool Restomod, or do you go back original? How do you make the decision on that, whether you make a Restomod or go back to, or leave it to original matching numbers machine?
I think what's great about the Restomod market is you're going to go with what the customer wants.
Yeah.
So Chip Foose is building a Series 3 type 12-cylinder Jag right now into a Restomod.
Yeah.
Jaguar themselves in Coventry, England, are taking Series 1, 1.5, Series 2, and Series 3 cars and building them back Restomod style. You can even order them with electric motors in them now. So the core cars, if you will, you still have to have something to start with.
Right.
To build this Restomod. So it has driven the core market up, if you will. But what's happening is some of these guys who want really nice stuff will go ahead and start with a really nice numbers matching car and turn it into a Restomod, which is kind of a drag because you almost can't go back after that.
Right, because they modify them so heavily. Very interesting. Right. Well, you know, the market, it ebbs and it flows and it twists and it turns. And here we go for another one where Restomods are bringing gigantic money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you just scratch your head and you go, what the heck? Because, you know, we get set in our ways and the game is played like this. And then they go, no, we've just changed the rules of the game. All right, we're talking with Dennis Collins. You can find him at Collins Brothers Jeep. He also makes all the Black Mountain Jeep products, BLKMTN.com on the web, or Collins Bros Jeep. We're going to come back with more and make sure he gives you all the right connections. So if you have a Jeep, want a Jeep, want a Black Mountain version, you can get one right through him. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. Me and Dennis will be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know this song from ZZ Top, Sharp Dress Man. Here he is right here, Dennis Collins, always a sharp dress man. And I don't know where you get all those jackets and those outfits you wear when you go to the concours and stuff, but dude, you rock with style, I'll tell you that.
Thank you for that. My wife does that. She has a custom made.
That's awesome. Kimberly Collins, she has good taste, I can tell you that. Anyway. All right, so Dennis Collins with us, Collins Brothers Jeep. What's new at Collins Brothers Jeep? And I think Jeep is really, really doing well. I'm so proud of the great American brand that we have here that is, you know, now with the Gladiator coming back and all the good stuff and what you guys in the aftermarket, you tuners out there, what you guys are doing is awesome. So what's new?
Well, I think we've out-tuned the tuner so far. You saw our Hellfire Jeep at Barrett Jackson.
Yes.
So we've already got the 2019 JLs that we're building right now with a Hellcat motor, so 707 horsepower.
That's awesome.
So we are actively building those right now, and we are greatly anticipating the Gladiator coming in so we can put a Hellcat motor in that and build that platform up. But so, we're spending a lot of time manufacturing the new products for the new JL.
So let me ask you, you guys are now pushing Black Mountain Jeep kind of as a, how do you describe what you're doing? You've got these dealers throughout the country where people can buy Black Mountain.
We call licensees, and it's a program that you can set up, and we generally, if you qualify, we'll give you a 45-mile radius. It's kind of a be-your-own-boss program. It's a turnkey program for the JK Wrangler, which they made 2.2 million of. So we show you your demographic, how many customers you have in your area, you know, and we protect the brand and we protect the margins. What's happened in the auto industry, as you know, Alan, is the margins have shrunk up so tight, a lot of these shops are having a hard time making any money. Well, we don't distribute. We are the manufacturer, so it's not getting stepped on between any distribution chain at all. You're buying it direct from the manufacturer. Therefore, we're able to protect our guys where they can make margin on it.
That's cool. How has the trade wars affected things with building across the country and around the world?
I'm just going to say interesting.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I spent a lot of time last week negotiating with the customs and our import guys because they did the tariffs and duties improperly, and I had to prove it. So you guys that are bringing stuff in, you really need to watch that because they have they're collecting tariffs and duties way up front where they shouldn't be. They're not acting yet. So yeah, that it's been a tough process, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about this. The new Gladiator. Do you think? I mean, and nobody's been able to do anything other than see them. I mean, just by looking at the vehicle, I know you've seen one. Do you think it's going to be as capable, being that it's a truck, a little longer? You know, I mean, what are your thoughts on it? Because you're kind of a dyed-in-the-wool Jeep guy. I mean, you've been doing Jeeps for, what, 30-some-odd years now.
I do. I mean, I think the best analogy I'm going to use is if you go run the Rubicon Trail in a two-door JK and go run it in a four-door JK, the four-door JK outperforms the two-door on almost every section of the trail.
Really?
Yeah. Now, is the Gladiator a little bit too long? It remains to be seen. You're going to have a little bit of different approaches and a little bit different departure angles, but I think that'll be accomplished in the aftermarket with our lift kits and the way we set them up. So they may have to be set up a little bit differently, but yes, I think that's going to be the most capable truck out there on the market. How's that?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you they look good. I love all the different configurations. I can't wait to see what you guys do with Black Mountain products on there. And I want one last question here before we go. Has the Jeep Grand Cherokee, what are they called, Wagoneer, the Wagoneer market, those classic ones, is that still as strong as it's been? Has that been affected by any of this with all these new vehicles?
It's actually stronger. It is now rated the number one.
You're kidding.
Classic vehicle that appears in television. So, we just build 24 of those a year. And now that you say that, I've got a request for our viewers out there.
Yeah.
I need a factory red 89 to 91 Grand Wagoneer. If you have one, send the lead to social@cbjeep.com. We're going to put a Hellcat drivetrain in it.
Oh, jeez. Now you're talking. All right, CB Jeep, social@cbjeep.com. You guys can find Collins Brothers Jeep Just Google Collins Brothers Jeep. Very simple. Or Black Mountain. If you want some Black Mountain products for your Wrangler, JK, or JL, check out Black Mountain Jeep at blkmtnjeep.com. Dennis, thank you, brother. It's good talking to you.
Yes, sir. You guys, have a great week.
Yep, you too. Make sure you guys watch his coffee walk. It's pretty fun. Dennis Collins, good guy. You've seen him on Fast and Loud, Gas Monkey. And, of course, he's got his own following. Be one of those guys. Find him on social media. I'm Alan Taylor. You can find me social media, The Drive at Alan Taylor on Facebook. We'll see you guys next week right here on The Drive.
A lot about living and a little about love.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever. The 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.